The following program is brought to you by Total Theater Online. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the staff or management of WGBB. You're listening to the station that serves your community, 1240 WGBB. And now it's time for Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to a very special edition of Dave's Gone By. If you've been listening to this program since we went on the air a little over a year ago, you surely know that the show is generally a mix of comedy, talk radio, music, interviews, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And this episode is true to form. There'll be a little bit of everything, but here's the really special part. A good chunk of this episode of Dave's Gone By is going to be given over to my guests, live in the studio. Now, I've been anticipating this show for a couple of weeks now, and while I'm genuinely excited about every episode of Dave's Gone By, well, this one, I'm still pinching myself. Ow! I really should stop pinching myself, that hurts. In the studio, hopefully soon, with me, will be three members of a musical group, but not just any musical group, one of what I consider the greatest, most profoundly beautiful musical groups of the last decade. Am I exaggerating? Am I just being flowery and effusive? Because they're going to be here in the studio as soon as... I should mention, I'm also stalling a little bit because they're due on the Long Island Railroad as we speak. They were supposed to be here at WGBB about half an hour ago, called me twice on the cell phone to say that the train, it happens to be a rather rainy night out, is stuck somewhere between Lindenhurst and Babylon because, you know, a few raindrops fall and the Long Island Railroad goes to pieces. So, they're there. And I'm here. If they call back, maybe I'll just put them on speaker at this point. I'm hoping they will get in. We have an hour and a half. We're here until 8. So when they get there, I'll be talking to this wonderful band. Who are they, by the way? It's Emil Adler, Julie Flanders, Marina Balica, the wonderful October Project. Why don't we listen to a song off their first CD, and you can judge how wonderful they are. Imagine that it's 1993. All the radio stations are obsessed with grunge and the Seattle sound. U2 puts out the fine Zooropa. Tom Waits goes overboard with Dissonance on the Black Rider. Bob Dylan is still retreading traditional folk songs, and Neil Young is digging himself out of the Geffen years. Van Morrison puts out an album that sounds like every other Van Morrison album. But there's some good independent stuff happening with Liz Phair and PJ Harvey and Matthew Sweet and Amy Mann's classic first solo record, but there's nothing on or off the radio that sounds anything quite like this.
What it means, a picture worth a thousand.
That sound, that lush, lyrical, exquisite sound can only be one band, October Project. Emil Adler, Julie Flanders, Marina Balika, and formerly with the band, vocalist on that track, Mary Fall. Now, the group disbanded a few years ago, and then rebanded as something slightly else, then they disbanded again, and then a year or so ago, rebanded, and now they're back as October Project, the core members still being Emil, Julie, and Marina, and I am praying that the Long Island Railroad will pull into the darn station and let them exit into a cab and get on over here, because this was going to be one of the more exciting nights on this show. So, last week I had the engineer from hell, today I get the transportation from hell. So it goes. Anyway, might as well bring on my good pal, Joe Salzone, who did that nice intro for me in the last half hour. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. How was your weekend?
I had a blast this weekend.
What'd you do and where'd you go?
I can't talk about that on the air, but I was watching the Yankees game on Saturday.
Oh, and you're an anti-Yankee.
I'm an anti-Yankee.
A redneck, basically.
I don't like the Yanks.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching, Game 6 of the World Series. They were down 3-2 in the series. It was bottom of the ninth, 2-0 Marlins. And they lost at Yankee Stadium.
At Yankee Stadium,
and
yeah.
The best thing about that game was as the camera was panning all around the stadium, the looks on all the kids' faces, some of them crying, it was just a beautiful sight.
Do you, go around on Halloween and invite kids in and give them candy with razor blades and stuff?
No, I don't celebrate Halloween.
I do. No.
Do you?
Yeah.
So that was the house I went to all those years ago.
Oh, yeah, those little Alka-Seltzer beverages that they love. That's so good.
Why
was
Joyce not wearing pants?
What? Uh-huh. Hey, thank you very much. Uh-huh. And how is your Sarah?
Again, don't talk about it on the air. I don't talk about my personal phone.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. But you had a good. You were in the Hamptons for much of the week.
I don't know where I was.
Oh, you can't even talk about that.
Nope.
You were not in the Hamptons. You were on the railroad, stuck with October Project.
I was somewhere. I was somewhere on the island, somewhere in the world. Actually, I was on Jupiter.
Were you on Jupiter?
Yeah, it was
fun. Because I heard someone was in Uranus, but I don't know what that means.
It's pronounced Uranus, you know.
Uranus. Hey, you know what?
What?
Why don't we do the news gone by? Just occurred to me. Let's do the news gone by now, and we'll roll that back, and then when October Project comes, they'll come. I didn't even think of that. I'm so smart.
Sure.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to... welcome to the news gone by on Dave's Gone By, a look at events of the past week from a pumpkin patched-up perspective.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, thank you very much.
No problem.
Yeah, you have one or two to do, but hold on.
These
are mine here, okay? In business news, federal agents swarmed into Walmart department stores in 21 states and arrested more than 300 suspected illegal aliens. The undocumented workers were generally part of the chain's overnight cleaning crew. They were hired by an outside firm contracted by Walmart, which claims it had no knowledge of these unlawful practices. Walmart says it's cooperating fully with authorities and that the arrest of so many laborers will not affect the store's operations in any way. In other news, Walmart is having a sale on sneakers, only $180 a pair, marked up from $24 a pair. Also in business news, General Motors will have to rename one of its cars in Canada. Apparently, people in French-speaking Quebec were making fun of the Buick LaCrosse because LaCrosse is a slang term they use for masturbation. Embarrassed GM officials are now making sure their other cars don't have the same problem. So far, they're okay with the LeSabre, the Lancer, the Marauder, the Vibe, the Ram Van, and the Express, although they are reconsidering prototypes for the Mitsubishi Fingerbang as we speak.
Marauder means rapist, by the way.
Does it really?
Yep.
How would you know that?
I get around.
Yeah, thank you. You get around what? I don't know. Anyway, in crime news, one suspect in last year's Maryland sniper attacks, John Allen Muhammad, briefly chose to represent himself at trial. He made the last-minute request to ditch his lawyers and be his own counsel in the case, which could bring him the death penalty. Muhammad's legal expertise was clearly evident when he asked the first witness, quote, "Have you ever seen me shoot anyone?" Well, ask a stupid question and get a wicked question later on, as when the prosecutor then picked up a Bushmaster rifle and asked the same witness, "Have you ever seen anyone walking around in a mall carrying something like this?" The next day, Muhammad wised up and realized he needed a better lawyer than himself, and that by acting as his own attorney, he joined such illustrious company as Lenny Bruce, Felix Unger, and Long Island Railroad psycho Colin Ferguson. Although, at the moment I know just how Colin feels. But if there's any justice in this world, Muhammad will also join such illustrious company as Joan of Arc and the steak I had for dinner last night. Speaking of idiots named Muhammad, well, there's a segue you don't get every day. Speaking of idiots named Muhammad, Mahathir Muhammad, outgoing Prime Minister of Malaysia, ignited a firestorm of international condemnation with his remarks at an Islamic conference last week. Aside from warning his brethren against the warlike ways of white European imperialists, okay, he has a point, he made special note of the Jewish race, pointing out that the world's 1.3 billion Muslims have been politically outmaneuvered by, quote, a few million Jews. While he did say suicide bombings were not the answer, Muhammad made clear he thought Western governments were controlled by Jewish lobbies, and that although half the Jewish population was killed in World War II, quote, now Jews rule the world by proxy. They get others to fight and die for them. Leaders from the Arab world gave Muhammad a standing ovation for his remarks. Leaders from the human side of the planet said that this ugly technique was the wrong way to convey Muhammad's ultimately nonviolent message. I don't know, maybe the only way to reach these bloodthirsty, desperate terrorists is to spew hate, but then challenge them to find a better way to hurt their enemy. All I know is that I made a couple of phone calls to George Bush, and he's personally sending 3 missiles to Muhammad's house with my name on them. Yes, I happen to have George Bush's home phone number. Anyone can get it. It's printed on the bathroom wall at the local synagogue. Oh, sure, you have to give a secret Jewish handshake to get in, but the Prime Minister of Australia will be happy to give that to you. Just tell him Moish sent you, and the check is in the mail. Joe?
In entertainment news, well, they said it wouldn't last, and it didn't. Not only did Liza Minnelli's recent marriage end in bitter divorce, but her husband, David Guest, is now suing her for $10 million in damage. Guest alleges that Liza, prone to drunken rages, threw a lamp at him and beat his face with her fist. I'm looking at a picture of him, and his face is so puffy and scary and swollen, and that was taken before they were married. But seriously, Guest says Liza's physical abuse left him with, quote, unrelenting pain in his head. So bad he has to take 11 prescription medications a day. Rumor has it that within 1 hour after filed suit, Guest got 10 messages on his answering machine, 1 from Liza, 2 from her lawyers, and 47 from Rush Limbaugh, asking for the same doctor.
In celebrity news, here's what's no longer...
You just had to make me read that one, didn't you?
I just had to make you read that one. And I had to reread it because in that last one I said he got 10 messages, except he got 49. Gotta do my math better. Wanna hear some celebrity news?
Not really.
Okay. Here's what's no longer happening. Fred Berry, the portly and lovable actor who played the sidekick Rerun on the sitcom What's Happening. Berry suffered a recent stroke, but he apparently died of natural causes at age 52. During the years of television success, Berry did a lot of cocaine and pot, but he later turned his life around, becoming a minister and a kind of willing perpetrator of his own stereotype. Unlike Tina Louise and Vivian Vance and Shirley Booth, who couldn't wait to distance themselves from their small screen characters, Berry cashed in on the Rerun nostalgia factor as soon as, and as much as, he could. Not only would he still dress in the classic suspenders and beret, but he'd do the autograph convention and shopping mall circuit. He even signed on for a .com service that allows fans to get a 30-second phone call from their favorite has-been stars. Hey, it's a living. It was only a shame that he didn't have quite as much success with women. Fred Berry was married, then divorced. Then he remarried the same woman, then divorced. Then married a third time to a different woman, then divorced. Then remarried the second wife, then divorced. Married a third woman, then divorced. Married a fourth woman, you got it. Altogether, 6 failed marriages for the hey kid. I don't know if you saw him on the E! Show Star Dates, where he went on 2 blind dates and was pretty good at smooth-talking the ladies when he wasn't ogling them and making leading suggestions. He was a character, which is cool. We need characters. And if What's Happening wasn't exactly the funniest sitcom on the planet, it was an agreeable place to spend a half hour, so long as you tuned in after Henry Mancini's annoying theme music. Yeah. Anyway, And if you look at personalities like Gary Coleman, the Howard Stern mascot Beetlejuice, and Damon Wayans, there's a little bit of rerun in what they all do. And you can even find a little rerun DNA in the pop-eyed outlandishness of Public Enemy's Flava Flav. Now, speaking of flavor, I can't resist one final joke. Did you hear that they hired a migrant field hand to be rerun's coroner? Yeah, they needed someone with experience handing blueberries. Yes! Yes! Behold the magic sound of the comedy keys! We don't have the comedy bell this week because I wasn't planning on doing this segment so early in the show, but we have the comedy keys! Because every week on Dave's Gone By, we make a play on words so ghastly, so gruesome, you'll not only ask what's happening, you'll ask what's crappening. And what's crappening, my friends, is... the Dave's Gone By bad pun of the week.
The saddest sight I've ever seen.
A man shaking his keys using a microphone.
What do you think, the microphone is a baby or something? Good grief.
Wait, I think October Project is on the phone. They're calling from the train, right? I want to hear this. I really want to hear what's going on. Can you, are they on the air? Hi. Hi, this is... Yes.
Hey, this is Farina. We just got off the train now.
Oh, my God.
And there are no cabs.
Oh, you poor things. You poor things. Well, by the way, you're on the air. I should mention.
Good. Hi.
Hi, everybody.
If I can offer some advice.
Yeah, please.
You're in Babylon, I assume, the Babylon train station. If you're facing the Babylon High School, there's a cab company right, which would be on your immediate left. So just walk over there.
Okay, I'm actually losing you. There's a phone number to call here. I'm going to call this number.
Yeah, but I mean, you should see a cab company right to your left, like a little building. So, I mean, you have to go away from the train, either down all the way to the end of the platform or just to the left, and you should see a cab company. But, yeah, definitely give the cab call. You know, it's raining. There's probably a bunch of people taking...
All right, wait. Yeah. Try that by me one more time. So we just came down the stairs, and where are we supposed to go?
There should be a cab stand, a cab company on the left.
We're standing at the cab stand, and there are no cabs.
Oh, right, okay, so I guess, I mean, there will be. It may take a while. Well, hi, how are you guys doing while you're waiting? Oh, you can't hear. Oh, are you breaking up on your cell? Can you hear me?
No, I'm still here.
Oh, hello.
The fire department is now directing us to another location.
My God.
From the emergency medical team of the FDNY. Showing us where to go. All right, we're trying another location now.
Are you guys all right?
Yeah, you know, we took the 4:40 train, and we were on the train for 2 hours. It's a little insane.
You poor thing. Well, I guess it isn't just the rain. I guess there's... Are the traffic lights out? Is that what's going on?
No, there was a disabled train in front of us, so...
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, anyway.
I just think handicapped trains should be euthanized. You take off their wheels...
Well, we see a cab now with a passenger. Maybe they're getting out.
Oh, goody.
All right, so we should be there soon.
Hope to see you soon. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye. That was Marina Balika.
Live coverage of breaking news and Babylon Train Station on GBB.
Oh, God. Why me? Why my show?
Now, you were saying something about the comedy keys.
The comedy keys, ladies and gentlemen, about the bad pun. Remember I make a pun about blueberries and Fred Berry being dead?
Vaguely.
He was always a blackberry, in a manner of speaking, but that's horrible. Anyway, what about these keys? Oh, yeah, they're signal the bad pun of the week, which you can sponsor.
We just got tape now?
No, keep it going.
I know.
You can not only advertise on the show, you can tie your product, event, or service in with this very segment, as if you would want to. Instead of my saying, the Dave's Gone By, bad pun of the week, I might say the Rothweiner Delicatessen, bad pun of the week, or the Homunculus Theater Company, bad pun of the week. Or if you have a theatrical or charity event or home repair or babysitting or cleaning service or fire department that you want to promote, let Dave's Gone By, bad pun of the week, be brought to you by you.
Wouldn't the babysitting service and cleaning service basically be the same thing?
Leave the jokes to me. Okay. All it takes is a few dollars and you can reach hundreds and thousands of listeners all over Long Island. I mean, we've lost them all already,
both of them.
Maybe next week we'll have some. All over Long Island. Not to mention all the folks listening via the internet and all over the country. Send them your commercial message by sponsoring the Dave's Gone By bad pun of the week. I just dropped my comedy bell keys.
As Dave finds his...
I found them! Oh, wait, that's not my keys.
You know, I've never seen a show so scripted being so disorganized.
I know. Wow. Well, see, because it normally runs very sequentially and it flows very beautifully. Now it's all whatever.
Welcome to live radio, Dave.
Yeah, and you know what? In some ways, it's almost more fun this way. 516-295-1511 is the number. 295-1511 or email davesgoneby@AOL.com. Because no, they're going to get here in about
five minutes.
We've
been on part six for about 10 minutes now.
Sponsor of Damn Dave's Gone By, bad pun of the week. Don't be good, be re-wonderful.
The comedy keys.
You be good or I'll take away your News Gone By segment. And I'll find something else to do with your comedy keys while you're on Jupiter, let me tell you. Okay, time to finish up this segment, God help us, with some spooky, 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 creepy Halloween stories this week. In education news, New York University has found a new way to ease its ever-present housing shortage, death. Three undergraduates have committed suicide at the college in less than a month. Ah, Joe, I'm glad you're so... And, you know, their families are listening right now. The most recent
Dave's
was...
going to get sued.
I've got nothing. I can tell them to sue the station, but the station has nothing.
We'll take your keys.
Anyway, three undergraduates have committed suicide at the college in less than a month. Most recent was last weekend, when a 19-year-old jumped out the sixth-floor window of her friend's apartment. Two others had taken headers inside the college library, which is understandable if you've ever seen the floor of the Elmer Holmes Boakes Library. It's this weird three-dimensional maze that almost invites stressed-out kids to make a pavement pizza. A university spokesman told Newsday the school has hired more mental health counselors and started putting in glass barriers along staircases of the library. Now, I went to NYU, and I honestly can't say why they're having a sudden surge in splats. The sad part is that all three casualties were getting a 4.0. That's not a great point average. That's what the judges rated them on a scale of 10 for diving ability. Thank you, Joe. Perhaps they would have been given higher scores, or the judges would have given higher scores to Long Islander Joseph Boyd, the late Joseph Boyd of Babylon. Boy, this is so appropriate. He was a 17-year-old employee. He was not a... He was a 17... Thank you, Joe. Joe has his own comedy keys. 17-year veteran of the Long Island Railroad, Joseph Boyd was, and he was struck and killed by an eastbound train last Monday. No, not today. The Darwin part, the Darwin Awards part, is that Boyd was on the electrical crew and served as the flagman. That's the guy who alerts everybody when a train's coming. Boyd sounded his horn when he heard the train approaching, assuming it was on the south track. But the train, it's not a pun. You don't wiggle keys when it's not a pun. Oh, he assumed it was on the south track, but the train came on the north track, which happened to be where he was standing. Well, we believe he misjudged it, said an MTA policeman in an understatement. The head of the Electrical Workers Union called Boyd a member in good standing, a good employee, and he'll always be a part of the railroad. Specifically his shins, which are wedged under the third rail at Copaig.
The family of Joseph Boyd will be suing the station.
Yeah, thank you.
On the lighter side of Halloween, organizers of a haunted house in Wentzville, Missouri, are now on the defensive. Critics say the public attraction features scenes of lesbianism and a whipping dominatrix. I don't live in Missouri. You know, that's like my house. All the time.
Read as scripted. All right. As scripted, dude.
Dean Kemper, spokesman for the 20,000-foot Mall of the Dead, says there's nothing inappropriate, no sexual intercourse, real or simulated. If it were a movie, said Kemper, it would be rated PG-13, unquote. City officials disagree, saying the mall needs to get an adult entertainment permit. According to Reuters, one part has two women touching each other's arms and legs and then kissing on the shoulders and neck. And that scene ends with the stimulated cutting of a man's genitals. Personally, I can't recall a PG-13 film that included stimulated schlong dicing. Why, I almost butchered that one up.
Schlong is schlong dicing.
Try again. Butchered that up. See, get it? But hey, times are changing. Personally, for all the weird and unnatural acts, I don't believe a shopping center should truly be called a horrifying mall of death. At least most Tiffany was singing there.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Good one, dude.
You see why I don't read these scripts anymore?
Don't give up your day job. Yeah.
Sure.
You can hold my keys. Okay. Here's a nice, ghoulish... Oh, actually, shake those a little bit for atmosphere. Skeleton keys. Here's a ghoulish story. A Scottish man obsessed with vampires has been jailed without parole after killing his best friend, drinking his blood, and eating part of his skull. 22-year-old Alan Menzies told an Edinburgh court he had made a pact with a female vampire from the horror movie Queen of the Damned in the hopes of becoming immortal. The fact that that character was played by pop singer Aaliyah, who proved to be extremely mortal, didn't seem to register with Menzies. He blamed the vampire for visiting his home and telling him to kill his buddy in exchange for eternal life. Well, the judge sentenced Menzies to 18 years without parole, asked why he didn't give Menzies 20 or 50 years. The judge said, "Boy, if that chap's going to live forever, I want to stay on his good side." Okay, maybe I should let you read that one. Gruesome as that story is, here's a tale from Africa that's even worse. I'm going to read this pretty much verbatim from Reuters because there's really no way to improve upon it, including the headline, "Suspected Penis Snatcher Beaten to Death." On Thursday, a 28-year-old man accused of stealing a man's penis through sorcery was beaten to death in the West African country of Gambia. A police spokesman said Baba Jallo was killed by about 10 people in the town of Serekunda. Reports of penis snatching are not uncommon in West Africa. Remember, folks, I'm reading this verbatim from Reuters. Penis snatching is not uncommon there because belief in sorcery is widespread. In 1997, seven alleged penis snatchers were beaten to death by angry mobs in Ghana. Purported victims claim that alleged sorcerers simply touched them to make their genitals shrink or disappear as a way of extorting cash for promise of a cure. Many men in Serekunda are now afraid to shake hands, and police urge people not to believe reports of vanishing genitals. Unquote. I don't know. Life would be so much simpler over there if Africans with tiny or shrunken members simply owned up to the truth. They're really Chinese and Jewish. And that's the news gone by for October 27th, 2003. Please send your comments, opinions, and Malaysian speeches to Things Gone By. P.O. Box 62, Unit, New York, 11557-0062.
Stay with my penis.
What?
You heard me.
What about your penis?
Stay away from it. Don't cut mine.
I'm not. So tuck it back in the window then. That's the address for all snail mail to the program. Letters, club membership queries, candy apples with razor blades in them. Send them all to Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. We reserve the right to read your letters on the air, name withheld upon request. Let me just say, Joe, why don't you do the four commercials that we're going to do early on. And actually, they're short, folks. It's only a minute or two. Hopefully, maybe we'll have a band by the time they're over.
By the way, you're listening to 1240 AM WGBB Freeport.
Yes, and AM 1240 WGBB.com live streaming on the internet. Leave me a phone message, 516-295-1511, 295-1511, or email davesgoneby@AOL.com, or check our website, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By for more information. If you'd like to advertise or sponsor a segment, maybe buy some cassettes of classic past episodes, look over the whole history of the show. That's all at hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By. If you forget the URL, you can Google search Dave's Gone By or find us on the schedule page of WGBB's website, AM1240WGBB.com. Click on the schedule link. Now, please keep in touch. Let us know you're listening. Telephone, email, snail mail. I look forward to getting your stuff. But please, no vanishing genitals. I can do that with an ice-cold shower. Back after this.
One fine day, everything changes in a moment. In her eyes, secrets of heaven disappearing
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. Here, getting settled. We actually do have them in the studio. The train pulled into the station. Thank you, God. So we have guests tonight, and wonderful guests they are. We're going to play another song while they're still setting up, but I wanted to say, yes, do stay with us. October Project is here. Emil Adler, Julie Flanders, Marina Balika are with me in the studio at AM 1240 WGBB and AM 1240 WGBB.com. And also, little Julian, I shouldn't call him. I hated being called little when I was little, and I'm little now. So, but he'll probably be coming in to join us as well. He's the son of Emil and Julie, and we may even be hearing from him. But first, one more song while everybody's getting kind of getting the rain off and the no instruments and oh, I don't know what they're doing. I'm just stalling. Play some music. This rainy, rainy evening, but it's going to be a wonderful evening now because my guests are here. Julie Flanders, Marina Balika, Emil Adler, reading from right to left as Hebrew would go. Don't even know what that means. I'm just so happy they're here. October Project. I've been playing them here and there since this show has been on the air about a year or so ago. And just fell in love with the band. I guess you started, what was it, 1992-ish or ish?
Yeah, that's about right.
That's Marina, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We came together and began rehearsing songs and started to think about when we might play out for the first time, and it was the winter time, and we thought, well, October looks like a time that we might be ready, and hence the eventual naming of the group into October Project.
Was there a list of other names and you just went through and then said October Project stuck, or you hadn't gotten to that point yet?
You know, Plan 9 from Outer Space, which
really?
I thought would be a fantastic name for the band. At least I did. No one else agreed. And we went through some really cool names. One of them was In Camera, to be absolutely honest, but we thought maybe that was a bit too, you know, intellectual.
It was too.
So we decided, okay, let's... how did it go again? You guys tell the story so well.
Well, actually, we had tried a bunch of really wonderful names, like The Fall or After the Fall. You know, these.
I think
really
there was a fall. The fall.
So yeah. Everything we thought of, someone else had. And it didn't matter how, you know, strange it was. Somebody else would have thought of that esoteric name. So then we were talking. And we thought, well, we should name it after something that matters to all of us. And we turned to Emil, the leader of the group, and we said, what matters to you, Emil? And he was very organized. And so he said, my file folders matter to me. So we decided to look for the name he had put on the file folder in which he kept the music. And it was October Project. And an important aspect of the name, which everyone always gets a little wrong, which is great, is everyone calls it The October Project or The October Project.
Well, I should say that the name of this program I call The October Project, but I put the V in there because it's the name of this episode.
Yeah.
Of Dave's Gone By, but I know your band
is
October.
We kind of like it when it happens, you know, and we just know there's a conservation of the's in the world, and we think that the got our the.
Oh, you know. That's right, they got two, so
got
you don't
two.
Get any. That's well, again, thank you so much for dealing with the Long Island Railroad and coming out here and doing all that. Let me ask, I'm still trying to get my head together because it's been so crazy here as well. So I'll go just straight to my question. When you got started, and you have, if people have seen the album cover of the very first album, it's basically a child with, I hope it's sort of a bag on its head, or its real head. Maybe it's one of those kids that was separated like last week, and one of them just doesn't look as good as the other at the moment. But did you have to fight a perception, as it were? Because your music is lush and pop and beautiful, but there's a feel of gothic somewhere in there, or it seems to be. Or maybe the marketing was as such. And was there the whole thing like gothic and witches, and how did you counteract that? Because it wasn't.
This is Julie, and actually it was pretty funny when it started to happen, because most of us are pretty lighthearted and spirited and silly, and so we had a PR person before our first interview, and Mary and I did the first interview, and we were prepped, don't worry, they're just going to ask you things like, what's your favorite color, what albums do you like, blah, blah, blah. The guy said, well, I think the whole band was going to do the interview, but he requested to speak to myself and Mary first, and we were on a speakerphone, and the first question he asked us is, are you Wiccans? Are you pagan priestesses? And like, we looked at each other like, what are we supposed to do with this? So of course, we immediately went with it. We were like, yes,
no.
We cast our spells on the full moon. You know, it was so silly.
But I should say, you guys have nothing to do with that. And it's just, well, where did the music, though, come from? It's a certain particular sound, even before the sound came together with a band, there must have been this concept of song. I mean, you're a member of ASCAP, Julie, I believe. So you've been a songwriter and poet before. Was there a difference when you started writing songs towards this quote-unquote project of, and this is also a question for Emil as well, of the sound of it, the feel of it? Was it suddenly a different kind of songwriting?
Well, you know, I think that the question, the musical part of that must go to Emil, because he really creates the arrangements and works with the band on that aspect, whereas the songwriting question, we came out of a theater writing background, and October Project was our attempt to write pop, so it may have been our limitations which created that unique sound. You know, we really like theatrical music and the structures of that and the complexities, and so, you know, theater music has to be immediately accessible, but also it has to have other layers, and I think that's one of the things that we bring. We're both classically trained.
Right, and I haven't even said some of the more basic things about the band here, that Julie is the lyricist. I mean, I assume you all do a little bit of all of it, but you're essentially the lyricist. Emil is the composer. Marina is now the lead vocalist of the group. Marina, you partly said, hey, hi, Marina.
Hi.
There.
Marina's also an incredibly accomplished musician. She, you know, did her degree in music at Yale and has contributed tremendously to one of the things the band is known for is harmonies. And Marina's sort of the harmony
the harmony goddess, right, yeah.
Of the band. And, you know, was very, very instrumental in, you know, creating that part of the sound.
Cool. Let's play another song. Pick one from anything you pick is going to be wonderful. So pick one either from maybe the new EP. We've already played Long After Tomorrow and If I Turn Away.
What's your favorite on the new
one? What's going on? Yeah.
How about The Mind's Eye?
Mind's Eye. That is the first track on the Different Eyes EP as Engineer Joe. We usually have a much more scripted show with you know, exactly what CD and when and where, but this is a different kind of thing. Playing it more...
We're jamming.
More casual. We're jamming.
Fast and loose.
Yeah. I hope you like jamming, too.
We do.
Good. Yes, they got it. They got it.
Yeah.
I love bands that get it. So here's October Project from their new EP, Different Eyes, first track on the album, The Mind's Eye.
Only when it is dark enough can you see the star. See the star.
Today I woke, hidden from the sun. I heard a young man speaking magic on his tongue. Bound at the feet, taken by the wrist, he reaches out to me, a diamond in his fist. Oh,
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By in the Mind's Eye. Not in the Mind's Eye. Actually, the Mind's Eye from October Project, not the October Project, who are here with us in the flesh at WGBB AM 1240 Freeport and AM 1240 WGBB.com. Marina Balika, Julie Flanders, Emil Adler. I keep switching the names around so everybody gets a chance to be first, but you're all first in my book.
Nice.
Okay, who wrote The Mind's Eye and why? And that is, what were you trying to say with that song? Easy one. Go! 15 seconds.
Oh, you know, I think it's in a love song. Pretty much a love song.
A lot of your songs are.
A love song. Yeah, I think it's a love song and about that kind of falling in love where you fall in love and don't think ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to look back on what you didn't look ahead for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, all right, I've got to ask then the very typical question that you always get. Music or lyrics first, or both together, or what? Or verse first, then some of the music, then chorus. How do you guys work it?
When we first began, we were writing lyric first. And because, you know, the theater composers who we admired, you know, it seemed to be that's how they work. So we tried it that way. You know, we're just total beginners at it. And then we went in the other direction, and then we tried simultaneous. And now it happens more or less simultaneously. In other words, it'll be an idea, a short idea that'll come from one of us, and then we'll go to the other before we're finished. You know, in the old days, we were sort of more presentational. It's like, okay, I have this wonderful lyric I want to show you. And the lyric was absolutely complete, and you couldn't change it, and you had to set it. Or I'd come with a melody in the same way. So now it's much more easygoing. You know, I've got this sort of idea, and you can change this, or you...
Are you comfortable working? Because some people, like, you know, while they're physically working on the poem or the way, it's like, no, nobody's looking at it until it gets to this point. And then...
At this point in our collaboration, we no longer have that feeling, you know. And perhaps that was true many years ago, but it's not true anymore. We trust each other. We know how the other writes, and we know if there's something weak we would never say, oh, this is weak,
right.
Not in the early stage. But if there is,
don't want to sleep in the garage. Yeah,
right. But if it is, we know that at a certain point, you know, it'll be a realization by the other, like, as you can see, this is going along real well here, and what do you think we need here? And,
right. You know, words you hate to hear.
Yeah, it's like, couldn't it, yeah, going to be a little, yeah, all right, you know, it's more positive, and it comes out just fine after a while.
Now, Marina, do you have any input in the structuring of the song, or do they come to you and say, okay, we've written it, and you're welcome to make, you know, if a word you feel singing is wrong, then let us know, but where do you come in, or are you earlier in the process?
Well, generally the songs are finished by the time I'm involved, and Emil's very liberal insofar as how it should be sung. I mean, I look to him and say, here's your melody, here's how I might sing it, do you have something else in mind? But he's very attentive to the singing of the song and wanting it to be natural, and, you know, so if that means phrasing in a particular way, he's very open to that. And I'd say historically what my involvement has been especially related to the harmonies, as Julie said earlier. It's something I've always been very much in love with, and in fact, you know, you suggested we bring some CDs of influential artists. All of the artists that influenced me most growing up were harmony groups, like Simon and Garfunkel or Crosby, Stills and Nash, and the Byrds, and you know, name them. But so these days it's a lot of fun. Julie and I spend a lot of time considering harmonies, working on them. We actually even rehearse them a cappella, which I don't know too many vocal groups that do that, but we try and make them bulletproof, so in any circumstance we can get that interval.
All right, you brought it up, and actually it was brought up before the show, so before we get to another song on CD, if you guys are cool, if you're all, you know, rested up from the rain and whatever, you said that you might do an a cappella song for us, and I know you're three people sharing two mics, but you know, it's WGBB. It's better than tin cans.
Well, thankfully for your listeners, I won't be included in this particular one because I'm not in the rehearsals that she talks about. These two, you know, I come in a little later. It's sort of it raises the standard, and I'll come in much later, and they'll say, well, why don't you take this This one note that none of us can hit because it's too low. Yeah, you have a note. I mean, don't complain.
No, now you could have a note in this song.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, he gets a note.
There's a three-part harmony moment. If Emil will come in, it'll be nice. But you can hum it if you want.
And is there any room for comedy keys? This will make no sense to any of them, but to the listeners it will. This was part of a segment that you were on the railroad for. But if you need comedy keys, I got them.
I think we all need comedy keys.
Yeah.
Every day.
Well, what key is it in?
Funny.
Okay, so what song are we going to warble a cappella?
All right, this is Eyes of Mercy. It's from first album, and it'll be a much different vibe for people who are familiar with it from the album, because it has a sort of hip hop beat on the album. And of course, you're just going to hear the voices now.
Cool.
Hush, close your eyes, and I'll keep you safe. Allow you to weep and sing you to sleep. Don't be afraid. Remember, I'm here. The noise in the street will soon disappear. When the soft face of mercy is lost behind a veil, I will stay with eyes open, stay here with eyes open to watch over you and take away the silence and the fear. Hide in my arms and dream golden dreams, forgetting the world of man and machines. When the soft eyes of mercy are blinded by the dark, I will stay with eyes open, stay here with eyes open to watch over you and take away the sadness and the fear. I'll be here. I'll be here.
And they are here in the studio, Marina Berlica and Julie Flanders. An a cappella version of Eyes of Mercy from October Project's first album called October Project. We also have, of course, Emil Adler in the studio as well. That was, of course, gorgeous. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow, very much. So, to go from that beauty into a little bit of ugliness, let's tell the story of the good and the bad of October Project. You came out, you got a record deal. That's good. How did that happen? I mean, so many bands want that. At least you got that. What happened?
I think it was really a matter of playing. I mean, we played out in the clubs in New York City. I mean, there was no special magic to the process. By throwing ourselves in front of an audience as often as we did, we managed to find someone who wanted to manage us. You know, our manager saw us at one of those
at CBGB's.
CBGB's Monday night. Just, you know, go there and sing for a crowd of
Joey,
you know,
Ramone. Yeah,
yeah,
Patti Smith. Yeah,
literally
natural audience for us.
Yeah, there were like barking dogs in the audience and bums who were barfing. barking.
Well, we'll
barking.
Have that here later. If you stay on.
But anyhow, you know, we did that, and we just kept at that. Well, once we got the manager on board, oh, we went to it's really simple. We went to a lawyer because now we have a manager. We need an agreement, and they were, you have a manager interested, and the lawyer got interested, and then the lawyer and the manager were throwing our demo tape around, and suddenly there was a label interested, and within a couple of months.
Yeah, there were a lot of labels interested.
Very, very fast.
And you chose Epic.
We chose
Epic. Chose you chose them, kind of mutual thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And first album came out and got, I assume, a lot of college airplay and a lot of independent and then that kind of airplay. So there was a second album, Falling Farther In, which is as good or if not better than the first.
Oh.
It's a wonderful, wonderful album.
Thank you.
Emil and I feel the same way.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Well, did you not? Why? Was the crowd, quote-unquote, reaction suddenly not as?
Well, I think what I've noticed is that whatever order a person discovers the band in is the order in which they prefer it. And that's not just us, but I think whatever your first album with something was, you're like, oh no, Coldplay, Parachutes, that's the album. And then if you didn't come to it till the second album, you're like, no, and I think more people heard the first album first because the second album wasn't really supported by the label. So,
right. Oh, so why not?
Well, there's two word answer: Michael Jackson.
Okay. Was he molesting Julian at that point? Or
pretty much. He was...
Julian, I need to reiterate. Hi, Julian. Julian is the son of Emil and Julie. He's 7 years old. Nice to have you. Shout something.
Woo!
Thank you very much.
Beautiful voice.
That was an a cappella shout right before Dave's gone by, ladies and gentlemen. So, Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson's album, which had been promoted to a tune of something like $60 million, sold maybe 3 copies right about the time.
Oh, this is not, this we're talking about
and
the other
Epic
one.
Was his label. Yeah. So what happened was, as a result of that financial disaster, everyone was being fired and mid-level bands were being let go, which is what we were. So anybody whose career was moving up was suddenly in a different corporate environment. So that had a big influence on us because both our A&R person and product manager were moved during the process of our album coming out. So... there was nobody who knew us or had anything to do with our previous band working it when it came out.
Right.
Our product manager left 2 weeks before our album came out, and our A&R person went to a different label within Sony. So it was, you need champions. And it's amazing that the album sold as well as it did in that circumstance. It was really about the fans. Fans supported us.
But okay, so because of corporate problems.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but why then did the band not, since there were all those labels originally, why didn't you just stay all together and then find another, or work at Epic or find another?
That's actually the perfect question. That's a really good question, because a band staying together would probably just get, if you're dropped on a Monday, you'd be picked up on a Friday. But
I think there were other things working at the same time. I mean, we had been together already for about 5 years, and I believe that I think this is true with any band. People want to begin to express their own musical muse, their own inner voice, and so it was a good opportunity. It seems to I think it seemed to everyone to go off on a sidebar for a while. It's like, okay, so this isn't working out. This gives us a chance to find ourselves.
Well, Marina, you did a project called December Girl. Is it a project or an album, or both an album and a project? Or
it began as an album title, actually. And, I'm born in December, so it seemed like since we had a theme of months going on that I would just... it came to me in a dream, actually. One word, lowercase.
Okay. And then, the name we're not mentioning... and I'll only mention a little bit, but yes, the original singer was Mary Foley. Beelzebub, say it backwards. No, I'm kidding. Terrific singer. She's going on to a solo career now, and that's fine. And we're not going to make them. In fact, I think we have just a little piece of her music just to play, just so people know what she's up to now. Do we have that cue, Joe? Let's give a listen to that. There she is.
Bring to your fucking fire handgun. Love it at my booty hole. Put the trigger on me.
You see?
You whip a gun shot.
You see, that's the problem.
Well, listen to the chorus. The chorus is great.
Shoot me in the ass. Shoot me in the ass. Shoot me in the ass. Shoot me in the ass.
You see, okay, yeah.
And I gave her the idea of shoot me in the ass.
That was
anal. Such an argument about that.
It's so uncredited. It's terrible.
I know. It's probably, I hate to say it, it's probably your best song.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair to her, I said shoot me in the butt, and she was like, no.
No, the ass has such a...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you can't really copyright the ass.
One cheek, you can. It's FCC rules. It's, yeah. No, that, by the way, was the late Wesley Willis, of course. But no. Just, we're not going to play him. Just wanted to get you guys with that.
Thank you. Well done.
But then you get together with a different group called November Project. Okay, so you regrouped after a couple of years, and that came out, and that came out with, is it a full album or an EP? I never did get to hear it.
It was an EP.
So, okay, and it seemed like that was nice music. Yeah, you had it going on.
Yeah.
What happened again?
Well, that band was, you know, really musically wonderful and doing very well. And it was just, for a band to work, you have to have such an alignment of people's wishes and dreams. And just, it wasn't working on that level. You know, people wanted to go in different directions, and so we couldn't hold it together. And that's probably almost as important, as if not more important, than the music is.
You know, you just have to realize that a band is a relationship times four or five. I mean, you know, if you've got a girlfriend or boyfriend, you know how difficult it is to decide on what restaurant to go to or what movie to go to.
Right.
Multiply that by four or five, and it you know, the same.
It's kind of like a Mormon marriage.
Yeah.
The problem with
that. We're definitely stealing that line. It's definitely a Mormon marriage.
Oh, all right. Yeah. I get 10%. Okay.
Yes.
Well, I mean, so that, you know, October Project's good, and I suppose this happens with pop, really popular bands, is that if you begin to go on, you go on in public, whereas a lot of bands do this sort of finding of the right people who are ready at this exact same moment in time to do exactly the same thing happens before their first album, and for some bands it happens after their first album, and so, you know, it's just, I think it's quite natural and to be expected, and, you know, it was just one of those relationships that didn't quite gel.
But the amazing thing is that once it happened, and then circumstances beyond your control make it unhappen to an extent, then it almost happened but didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And then you went back and you did it again.
We're gluttons for punishment.
Yeah.
No, but this seems to be the good time. This seems to be like building it slowly, having a great time.
Yeah.
It's the core. I do have to ask, this October Project, is it the three of you, is that the band, or is it also Urbano Sanchez and those guys? How does that all work?
Well, we're the core. We're the three diehards who said, we're doing it.
This is Marina talking
about
it.
Yeah, hi. Okay. And we're going back out and doing it. But we love Urbano and Dave and have maintained friendships. And absolutely, they will perform and record with us as their schedules permit. Also, it was kind of a natural progression coming together again. You know, you'd mentioned December Girl. Well, one of the things I really wanted to include on that was Return to Me. And so I thought, what could be more fun than just getting us all back together in the studio? And I asked Emil to produce it, and we came together in the studio that day, and it was a reunion. It was the first time we had been back together in that way in several years, quite a few years, actually, and had such a joyous time that I think it sparked the notion in our heads simultaneously. And we just went with the flow and found that we really did enjoy readdressing the old material and also starting to think of creating new material and a new record.
And then we were, we began, well, first of all, that track, Return to Me, which was recorded in a day, started to get airplay. And it went to number one at WBER in Rochester.
Cool.
And then Billboard wrote a little article about it. So we hadn't intended any of that. It just sort of was swelling up, and then we began performing, and we didn't really have a name, and then people were perceiving it as October Project. You know, it was obvious to everyone else. So over time it became clear that, oh, well, we are October Project. It's us and David Urbano joining us, and, you know, so
the name just stuck again.
Yeah.
I mean, it made sense to go call yourself not December. Well, you had December. You'd have to be January something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mint
Leap
Project.
Oh.
March hair.
Okay.
You know, you couldn't, you know, and just, you know, although Dave, for instance, loved the process and loved the experience of being in the studio, you couldn't drag him out into the world of touring again. You know, he's just, he's over it, you know, so it wouldn't even have been an option had we wanted to bring back, you know, five-sixths or whatever it is, four-fifths of the original members. You know, it's like, well, it's a lot of fun, and call me on every occasion you think you want me to. to play, and I'll decide whether at that moment I want to. You know, it's but you know, as far as committing myself to, you know, every tour and every promotional, you know, stop you make, we just can't do it.
Yeah, and we are going to segue into Return to Me. I know you set up that perfect segue, and we veered, but you also brought up just the point of doing concerts and live performances versus the studio. Do you, this is open to all of you, have a preference for which you prefer doing?
Oh, man, well, that's easy for me. I like the studio. I like being
behind.
This
is Julie talking.
This
no,
is
no.
Julie. and I can answer for the ladies. They love performing. They love being on stage. And I think they like the studio as well. I mean, I'll obviously let them answer. Here they are. But, you know, for me, I'd much rather disappear. And I hear a lot of audience members feel the same way about me. So
but I'm bummed. I get my comedy keys for
radio
that.
Therefore being the perfect compromise for Emil, because he doesn't have to be seen, but he gets to be performing and have his recordings played. So no, but I would say absolutely record. Well, I enjoy both recording and performing.
Right. And Jules?
Well, I never did perform with October Project before, so it's very, very, very,
right.
very, very new for me.
That's right. You used to be on the sidelines or were watching the band. This is the first. Uh-huh. Did you have a certain shyness to overcome? You've done theatrical work, so you didn't have to worry about that.
But
singing is different. Yeah.
Music is really different. So, still.
Okay. Well, now we'll get to the segue that we were going to get to a couple of minutes ago, and we're going to play not off the original October Project, which you should all have in your libraries, and the second album as well, and the new EP. This is off an EP, the first thing like you did when you got back together, right? This is the three collection called Three?
Well, it was on December Girl, and then we had it on a sampler that we put together when we reformed called Three.
Cool. So, from Three, Return to Me. Back to the sea. and hear all about it on Dave's Gone By right now with just a few more precious minutes with the wonderful group October Project. Marina Balika, Emil Adler, Julie Flanders with us. They made it from the train. Thank God they did. They did a lovely a cappella song for us, playing some tunes from their CDs. Since we don't have that much time, I've got to do some plugola here. So, talk to me about Joe's Pub. Talk to me about Lofts. Talk to me.
Well, we do have a performance this Thursday at Joe's Pub in New York, but that's sold out, so we'll be back. We'll keep everybody informed. We have a concert coming up in November, two concerts, a Friday and Saturday night, November 14th and 15th at a private loft in Soho. We play Unplugged, and we're having the band Feather Merchants join us. We'll be singing some new material, so it's going to be quite a night, and you can find out all about it on our website.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Octoberproject.net. Not.com.net. Octoberproject.net. And you can also buy like T-shirts and mugs of the band. And I did want to get into this question, because not only can you buy Different Eyes, and I think you still have copies of Three available on this.
Oh,
they're sold out.
That.
Wow. But you can also still get their first two albums on there. The first. Now, should people... Because I think I talked to you about this on the phone while we were setting this all up, Julie, that, you know, Epic screwed you and all that sort of thing. So when you sell...
Well, I never said something like that in public, ever.
Okay, well, I made that up. I made that part up. Epic didn't screw you. They're a wonderful company.
Now we have to go into the witness protection.
No, in other words...
It wasn't their fault.
But you had mentioned something about, and maybe I shouldn't be talking about, when they sell still October Project albums, you guys don't really... get anything from that.
Well, that wouldn't just be us. That's sort of endemic to the music industry.
Right, okay, it isn't
and
just Epic.
It's still good for us when albums sell. Because
it is, okay.
The fact that an album scans, that you buy it in the store and it scans, just helps keep an awareness of the band and kind of a viability when you go to play in a club, that kind of thing.
But if people buy it from your website...
Makes no difference.
It really does. You don't get any extra frisson from
we
that.
We just do that as a convenience for our fans.
Oh.
I think it sends them to Amazon, right? Or something like that.
No, they buy them through us.
Oh, sorry. We just try to make everything easy.
And you do tack on that $9 October Project surcharge. No, I'm kidding. All right, buy from the website anyway. I've got only a few... a couple of minutes left. My gosh, I've got to close up here. So first of all, just have to do some business here. I want to thank my engineer, Joe Salzone. Please listen to Your World. Hey, Joe. Yay. Epic screwed him, too. They don't even know him. 6 p.m. Sunday nights. Listen to his show. Also, 11 o'clock Sunday nights. And I think he's doing a show tonight at 11 on GVB AM 1240. Give a listen also to Long Island's Dating with Bonnie D. Graham, Friday nights at 6. Special Halloween show this Friday, where Bonnie will be interviewing John Hoag, author of a book on Nostradamus. I predict a winner. Friday night at 6. By the way, did you hear that members of the Mepham High School football team have been consulting with a clairvoyant about their problems? Yeah, his name is Nostray Anus. Thank you very much. Where are my keys?
Oh,
I'm sorry, I had to do that. They're the keys. Also, thank you very much to the Tandoor Grill, Northern Indian Food, 222 Sunrise Highway, next to the dance studio, right across from the Rockville Center train station. www.tandoorgrill.com. Leave off the last I for Indialicious. I have to also thank my sweet and beautiful wife, Joyce, for all her support and comfort. Thank you, Joyce. Yay! Thank all of you for listening, and my very, very, very special guests this evening, October Project, Emil Adler, Julie Flanders, Marina Balika. Buy their EP, Different Eyes, and buy it from their website, octoberproject.net. You can also, as I said, get their first album, second album, read a whole bunch of articles about them, too. And let me end this show with a little bit more of their music. I also want to say that tune in next week, totally different program here. I'm going to be doing something called Dr. Dave Mento. I fulfilled one dream with this episode by having one of my favorite bands on the show. Next week, I get to salute a radio host who's been both an icon and an enormous influence. No, I'm not going to have Dr. Demento on the show, maybe someday. But for one evening, I'm going to be Dr. D. Dr. Dave Mento, playing some of the best and funniest novelty songs ever committed to disc. So, that's next week, Monday, November 3rd, 6:30 p.m. on AM 1240 WGBB and AM 1240 WGBB.com. So that'll be our 50th episode. We've got one more minute. Play a little October Project to play us out. In fact, that'll be my end music today. Have a great night, folks. See you next week. Thank you, October Project. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.